Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to Teamless Tuesday, round three. How are we doing, Floggy?
Yeah, mate, doing good. Just trying to break down those ranks, which last week helped a bit, but still plenty of room to go.
Yeah, it's been a weird, really weird start to the year. And even now, like, Teamless Tuesday has been just chaotic.
I think the intensity of the game, how broken up that first round went as well. You're going to find like a lot of changes, and even before what we were saying about perhaps some of the lineups or even rotations are also factoring in short turnarounds, long turnarounds, things like that. That perhaps isn't really fun for fantasy, but you got to think fantasy secondary to the real game, and the real game. As a very wise man once said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ross, there's been a bunch of almost irrelevant team changes, but geez, there's been some ridiculous number of team changes from last week to this week.
There has. Roosters, obviously, Wongy's off in the chopping block. They've stocked up their bench, which is not good. Obviously, May is going to be a big target this week, but are there too many meter eaters on the bench to steal his minutes? I don't know that answer just yet. And we thought Hutcho would be gone, and he's still there, so bloody, I don't know. It's all happening.
And yet, Hastings is gone. Like,
yeah, well, it nearly is. So yeah. I reckon at this stage, bloody South would have taken nearly Hutcho and bloody Hastings in their team at the moment over Ilias. But I don't know. Like it's a weird one. I'm a bit snookered with money at the moment and trades. I don't want to trade too many because I always do this. I always start off just max trading, and I've saved some already. So I'm pretty stoked with that.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to save trades as well, but still trying to field a 17. How are we doing, Lenty? Yep. Good chat, Lenty. Just typical Eel supporter.
Sorry, boys. How are you? Good. Very good.
Thought maybe you fell down a hole or something.
No, sorry. No. All good.
All right. Hey, anything kind of surprised you straight off the bat for Teamless Tuesday?
Wong was a surprise, if you have him. I don't think anyone really picked that to happen to him, not even on the bench. He's playing wearing jersey 22, so bit of a surprise. I think Blaze Talangi for the Eels is a bit of a surprise too. I don't think anyone would have really picked that. I think a lot of people would have just assumed Hayes Dunster would have gone to the wing and Harper in the centres, but yeah, so give him a shot. But that's probably, the two main surprises.
No, I picked Blaze, Lenty. I picked him.
Oh, you're a legend, though.
All right. So, overall, there was a ton of changes. Let's run through it as quick as we can. Cookie, just before I run through some of the changes, mate, any Teamless Tuesday stuff that jumped out to you?
Just that it's good news for Keeney owners that there's no sign of Campbell yet. That was one of the things I looked at.
Tua Peaky too, made it another week.
CNK,
even though Chance was rumoured to be back in.
CNK, Andrew Webster, said last weekend after the game a few days ago that he's 2 to 3 weeks away. So I'm hoping I might even get Tua Peaky next week as well.
Yeah, that would be nice for Tua Peaky owners. All right, so major changes. Lindsay Smith starts a prop. Shouldn't be for too long. Dane Laurie came in onto the interchange for Penrith, which is interesting for Mitch Kenny. For the Broncos, basically, they have Jock Madden at halfback. Will be interesting to see how a lot of those guys score without Adam Reynolds in the team, but Payne Haas has been named. For the Warriors, as Cookie just mentioned, Tantu Piki is still in the side, with Chance and Kuklokstad still a couple of weeks away. Nothing else major to talk about except for the fact that Wade Egan still manages to get named, even though His arm is in three different pieces. For the Raiders, Kotrick is in, which is handy for those people that picked him up. But if you're a Hosking owner, you're feeling pretty nervous at the moment, even though you should get a couple of decent price rises. For the Roosters, touched on already, but it is really interesting, this Roosters one. So you've got Sandon Smith at 5'8", Nat Butcher is starting, and Satili Tupanura is still on the starting side. Terrell May is on the bench, and Angus Crichton comes onto the bench along with Connor Watson. So there's some interesting stuff going on there. For the Rabbitohs, Jacob Hoste is starting, so don't fall into that trap. We've been down that road before. Jack Whiten, probably not fantasy relevant though. For the Dogs, Blake Taff is still at fullback. I've got to change that up soon. It just doesn't seem to be quite working. The entire back line, I think they just need to figure that one out better. Liam Knight apparently played big minutes last week in New South Wales Cup. How you wish. For the Titans, Keeney is still there. Jolliffe is starting at 13. Not too much else, though, that you're probably going to be interested in. For the Dragons, I actually think Tom Eisenhuth starting at 13, I think that's really interesting. I think there's a chance that this is how they run their side once Molo returns from suspension. And for the Cowboys, Kulikefu Finefuiaki is starting in the second row. Tigers, Fatape keeps his spot in the centres with Toa out. Olam is there. Galvin starts at 6. Caesar at 7. And for Seyfarth owners, he is no longer starting at lock. He is back to the bench. Jack Williams starts for the shot for the Sharks. And that is all there really is. Para, Manly. Para, as Lenti mentioned, Talagi is in the centres, but probably doesn't get long enough to make him worthwhile. Joey Lussick is really interesting, especially with Luca Moretti on the bench, because Moretti can play some middle as well. And for Manly, probably not too much else there to really talk about. They're going quite well, and if you've got any of them, you should be doing well. Knights and Storm, interesting here, particularly for the Storm, is that they don't have either of Cam Munster or Jerome Hughes. And Knights have got Jack Cogger starting at halfback. Everything else is pretty much as per program last week. So not much else you really need to focus on. Lucas is in the reserves, though, for the Knights. Floggy?
Yeah, mate.
I think so far, reading Facebook, reading Discord, the big one that's jumping out to people is the cheap hooker option. I guess everyone likes a cheap hooker.
Yeah, there's a few cheapy options this week, which is always good, considering last week wasn't so much, or maybe we wanted to wait and see, and most of those options actually didn't go too badly. So, except for those Talau owners, unfortunately. But, yeah, there's quite a few that people are trying to get in. And age-old problem, there's not enough, can't do enough trades this early on. Yep. Sure, there's probably three or four I'd like to make, but, you know, Four safe trades are always good. Lussick, mate, I mean, he seems to be doing everything he needs to be doing. So if you need a hooker, those who missed out, I'm getting decent cover. I don't think Levi's it, if that's how people are running.
Yeah.
Needing a try to score a 30 isn't ideal. So I don't think the Levi train's really going to last too much longer. She's running another steam.
No. Which way would you go? Would you go Lussick or would you go Kenny? Because they seem to be the two options.
No, I mean, Kenny's got a stronger cover off the bench, if you want to compare the two strongly and the teams that are in, but Kenny's in a stronger side. So I don't know, man. I think most people will probably end up going Lussick because that's the guy that everyone had looked into already in the preseason. So they've already done their research or at least a little bit. So probably that's the way most people are going to land. And I think Kenny's a bit more expensive too, isn't he?
No, actually, the other way around at the moment.
Oh, so, wow.
Kenny's just under 500 and Lussick's just over.
Oh, see, I didn't realise Lussick was so expensive. Okay. Yeah, well, looks like you can go for both. But I think, like, with the Eels, it's only going to take a few bundles in the middle, or they go on a losing streak or something, and then that's when Hands can come back in just as easy as that, or that rotation changes up pretty quick, which will likely revert to the normal, like the model that every other team's running at the moment, which is a 60 to 70 minute hooker, which then starts impacting on Lussick as well, whereas
he's pretty stagnant at the moment. He's been playing a long time though, and that's how
cheap he is. So is that someone that you want to bring in?
I guess that's one of those things you guys are going to have to work out. It's quite tricky whichever way you go. Penrith have a pretty good buy schedule apart from having the buy in round 6 or 7, whichever one it is. They don't have another buy through till round 16. So you're getting that good long-term backup 9. Parramatta, if Lussick is the one they're going with on a regular basis, then he should also put out some good scores. I don't think you can go wrong necessarily either way. Probably Kenny is probably the safer option because he's got the safer job security, even if they lose a couple of games.
Just jump in here, Timmy. I think Lenty, who's an Eels supporter, will attest to this, that, mate, they haven't even clicked yet or even come close to clicking. So yeah. I reckon Lussick is a safer bet. Once they start attacking and really gelling as a team, I think we've got to watch those halves closely over the next like fortnight or so for their run. They've got a pretty good run after a couple of tricky ties. So, yeah, lots to watch on that.
I think the other one this week I think is a really interesting thing to talk about is captaincy choices. Lenty, who have you got scheduled for a captain this week?
Oh, I think I'll stick with Cleary. Against the Reynoldless Broncos Thursday night, I think he'll do all right again. It's just a safe bet, really. You can always play a captain roulette, but, I mean, why would you when you've got a bloke like that in your team if you picked him? It's just, a safe double up every week, at least a 60. So it's good. Makes your life a bit easier.
I'm actually thinking, I mean, I feel like he's the obvious option. The outsider that I would be looking at is Harry Grant.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So my thinking there, particularly with them not having Hughes or Munster, it might be a situation where Grant just ends up having to do everything.
Yep.
Or Wishart. Wishart's playing 7, so
yeah, well.
He may have to do a bit more kicking and stuff like that. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And so I'm wondering if that's someone that you're wanting to go against Cleary. Maybe Harry Grant's probably not a bad shout. Cookie.
Hines is probably a good one too.
Yeah, Hines is a good one.
It sort of goes without saying, if you own Hines over Cleary, then it's definitely Hines. Like, he's playing Tigers, so.
Yeah, Hines against Tigers, that's not a bad shout. Cookie, where would you put someone like a Damien Cook or a Isaiah Yeo, someone that's probably... that can score well but not necessarily highly owned? Where would you put them in that captaincy conversation at the moment?
I'd have Yeo higher than Cook, just for the fact Yo's such a machine and the fact Cook might not be playing the 80 minutes every week. I just got a feeling he might have a few games where he comes off at the 65-minute mark or so.
Yeah, okay. And then it's looking at guys that you're probably looking at picking up this week. So who would be your, let's say, two targets this week, Cookie?
Am I allowed to give three but split two?
Go for it, mate.
I'm looking at Terrell May or Curran. I'm not sure which one yet. Both have cons and negatives. And then the other one's Lachlan Galvin. Those are the two.
What is it that you can't split with May and Curran?
Well, Curran's got the DPP. Terrell May's got the better PPM, but just with Angus coming on the bench, I'm just got to try and work out whether there is going to be those 55 minutes for May, or is it going to come back to the 40 to 45 mark? Yeah, because Curran, you probably think, is going to come on 20 minutes in and could stay on for the last 60 minutes kind of thing.
Which is what he has done.
Yeah, but they did have an injury or two with HIA, so it's about trying to figure out, does Curran keep those 60 minutes or does he come off with like 10 minutes left? So there's a bit, you know, at play, and we probably won't definitely know the answers until they've both played, but a lot of people are going to have to take the punt on one of them.
Do you think someone like a Wong to May is a good idea then?
If you think May keeps the minutes and you don't think Angus is going to affect the bench too much, if May gets those mid to high 40s minutes at a PPM, you know, you'd think he'd average probably around that 50, which means he's probably got another 120, 130K to make. The other thing is, if he does get the low 40s minutes and only averages, say, 45, 46, maybe he's only got another 90K to make, then he tops out. So you've got to try and figure that out, you know, and then go with probably what your gut says.
Roscoe, who would be your two trade targets this week? Cookie mentioned Galvin. Is he one of yours this week?
Mate, I've got too many wildfires. I've got I've got so many spot fires to put out. Let's have a look. Sorry, I'm just looking at the team. I think Finifuiaki is a big one that a lot of people will be talking about, and obviously Terrell May and Galvin. You could probably split Finny and Galvin in the same sort of trade, whether you want a half or an edge backup. And then May and Curran, I agree with Cookie. It's a flip of the coin at the moment.
Yeah,
what about you, Timmy? What about you?
I'm thinking, I actually think Galvin's going to be a really good one. We've talked a couple of times throughout the year, Roscoe, and I know Floggy and I have had similar conversations as well, but cash generation this year is going to be really, really tricky. And I feel like Galvin's one that can have some good cash generation. So I really feel like the sooner you can jump on Galvin, the better.
Cash is paramount in the first, 2 months, right? The first 8 weeks are so important. So, it's hard to come by some cash this year. It's so different, the landscape. I don't mind it. I think, for me, because he's so young, I just don't want it to be that last week was he was so up for it and he was so ready that he has like a bit of a sort of a hangover from that. So I'm going to watch him one more week and I'm going to go to Finifuiaki. But I like it too. I like it. But for me, it just doesn't suit my landscape right now.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough as well, because there's a lot. If it doesn't work, we've seen plenty of examples of blokes having great debuts 1 week and then the second week basically falling out the back door. Zach Sini is probably one that jumps to mind. So I can understand waiting, that's for sure. Another one that I'm looking at this week, and particularly with Lukey being injured, I'm looking at Eisenhuth. I mentioned it there before, but Eisenhuth is one that I'm seeing as being a very good cash gen option. I think he can win that lock spot. I think the Dragons are a better balanced team with the Ballon at prop and Eisenhuth at 13. I'm thinking about jumping in on Eisenhuth.
Timmy, I just throw something in? I think that Molo bloke suspended for the week. So could that be why Francis Molo?
Yeah, he's suspended for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so could that be why they've moved Ballon to prop? And then when he comes back, he starts and then Eisenhuth goes to the bench kind of thing.
I'd say that's why they've moved it. I think this is a better balanced forward pack, though. I think Molo coming off the bench is better all round. You want to have Luciano starting. The sooner they can have Luciano starting, the better. I think this balances their forward pack anyway. I think it.
So when Luciano starts, like he is obviously this week.
Yeah.
Obviously, Little comes back. Who falls out of Marshke and Mulhaizen?
Well, probably based on the order that it's in. So Marshy probably goes back to the bench, Mahias, and probably drops out.
There's a lot of blokes right now that have got Viliami Fifita in their teams, and it's like, you just need to get rid of him, man. Like, he's not making any money.
Well, I think particularly with Viliami Fifita, you've probably got an extra 2 weeks of it because he probably does hold that spot on while Francis Molo is out.
Just remember that Hame Sele at some point is due back very soon as well. So,
Lenti, you've been trying to say something for a couple of seconds.
No, it was just, the Eisenhuth thing. Just looking at their team list, I think that's probably, DeBellin will jump back to lock when Molo comes back, and then Eisenhuth will come off the bench. But, I mean, he's been playing solid minutes, even off that bench. So, I don't mind. I think, a lot of people got a bit of a down-to-earth with a lot of the Dragons if they chased some points there last week. So, just, be wary of things like that as well. So, but it's interesting. There's lots of options, which is, it can be good, it can be bad. It makes it a bit harder sometimes, but,
Have you got anyone in particular that you're chasing?
Oh, I'm getting Terrell May. I can't not do it this week. He's braining it. I reckon he just keeps playing 55 to 60 every week. I think Robbo thinks that's his role now. He's one of the new big dogs in that pack, whether he starts or he's off the bench. So yeah. I don't think you can avoid it too much longer if you don't have him. If you picked him up round one, kudos to you. Well done. But I think if you don't have him, you've got to get him.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad shout. And I mean, I'm not against getting someone like a Lassick or a Kenny either. I think you've got to try and get some sort of mix of that group in.
Yeah, I told you about Lassick, but no one believed me, but that's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, it was this thing called Brendan Hands on the bench.
Is that Mitch Kenny?
Oh, please. Who makes 50-something tackles and gets a score of 40-something? Come on.
Oh, jeez. Bit harsh on the bloke. That's all he did was tackle.
Yeah, he's a tackle bot. You McCullough.
The only other thing there that's really jumping out at me this week in terms of trades and everything like that, Floggy, and we did discuss it last week, but it's this idea of getting rid of guns. And I'm seeing a lot of people trading out McInnes, and I'm seeing a lot of people talking about, people even talking about trading out Harry Grant. People are talking about trading out Caelan Ponga. Surely they're not your biggest issue.
Well, not your biggest issue. The biggest issue we're facing at the moment is that for the last 3 or 4 years now, we've started with the same salary. The prices have gone up. So fantasy inflation's come in. We're probably at the tip of it now because of the issues. We'll hopefully see a bit of change next year. But with what we've got now is cash generation is key at the moment. And what we're finding is a lot of the guns, especially early on, especially with that round one, didn't fire. So started round two with a pretty high break even. And if they didn't quite front up well enough for round two, then they're facing some big drop-offs with their pricing. So if you look at it in terms of shares and things like that, they're getting off it while it's losing cash and with the hopes to bring them back in later. But you've really got to. It's really important if you're going to do something like that. You've really got to be paying attention to how they're going, where their prices are. Keep an eye on the matchups and things like that. In honesty, I had McInnes as a sell on the weekend watching that Sharks gameplay. But if you look at their next matchups over the next couple of weeks, you just can't do it. And the Wong news helped as well because that gave me exactly what I needed anyway, which is somebody out so I can make a trade that I want that will more than likely see some better cash generation in. I don't know. I've found that if we stick to the old rules of fantasy of never trading out a gun, it's actually bitten me more often than not in the last few couple of years. So to play devil's advocate, we've been playing long enough that it's kind of ingrained for us not to trade those guns. But it's going to work out for some people. If they do it at the right time and then bring them back in at the right time, it can work. It's just a bunch of luck, really. you can spend a bit of time to do some put in the yards to do a bit of research on it to try and figure out when the best time will be to bring them in, but it doesn't always work out that way either. And you're going to probably spend quite a few extra trades by doing so. Whether that works for you or not, it's really up to you. And yeah, I not to kind of put my hands up and sit on the fence, but I can see why people would do it. I personally can't do it, but it worked for a lot of people, especially last couple of years. It's actually worked where I've been sitting on players way too long, and then basically it's ended up smacking me at the end.
Yeah.
Well said, Floggy. That was so good. Timmy, I'll just jump in there. I agree with like the shares sort of metaphor and analogy of that. I think the ones you should be trading out are the ones that if they're mid-rangers, they're making the least amount of cash or they're losing cash. You've got to stop the bleed as soon as possible and upgrade to a person that is making cash. Like, it's so important to make, like, this first 2 months to make as much cash as possible. Don't worry about points. Like, you can catch up all those points. Cookie will attest to that. Like, you can catch up so many ranks deep into the rounds as you go along the season. Points are easy to catch up in some, like, within reason. But money, you can't just, like, click your fingers and make money, okay? So, yeah, that's the one lesson I'd give out.
Ross, you're talking about rangers that aren't making cash and stuff. Are you talking someone like a Satili Tupanua? Is that who you're kind of directly referring to?
Yeah, I think, yes, I am. But, however, because he's a green dot this week, I'm going to keep him. And Wong isn't a green dot. So I'm going to sell Wong. But if they're both, like, out, then 100% they're both gone. So I just – how many trades? Like, I could make, like, 4 or 5 trades this week, but I can't. So I've just got to keep some green dots who are playing and take the hit one more week. But, yeah, Satili's losing so much cash. I can't foresee him turning it around. I'm happy to be wrong, but I think he's definitely a sell.
Yep.
More trades, please. We need more trades.
No, mate. Don't even start.
Just a couple of bonus trades to start the year, just so we can deal with some of the carnage.
Come on, Fan Hub, something.
Are we all in agreement with Satili though? Like, or am I just way too harsh on the bloke? Like, he's bleeding.
Man, you're way too harsh on him, mate. You're way too harsh on him.
If you have a look at it, he's only lost 23k, 24k. It's not crazy.
Feels like he's lost more.
He's no Mitch Kenny.
The biggest issue is that he's out of all these players that we've got who aren't getting the minutes to get their points. This is a bloke who is getting the minutes and still not really delivering. Years gone by, Satili definitely his points per minute was much higher. So I think with that kind of expectation on him, he's not really firing as well. I can understand people trading him out, like exactly what Roscoe said. You brought him in for some cash generation, not to lose cash. The amount of people I've seen screenshots of with their team value sitting at 10 million or below 10 million, they're actually worse off purely because they've got the Satilis that are breathing cash instead. It makes sense to see him out, but I think people have got more fires than trading out a green dot at this stage. It might be worthwhile to move on Satili now, as we said, especially with the Roosters line up at the moment. Who knows what that rotation is going to look like this week? And it hasn't worked well for him so far.
Are we on the Funifuiaki train? I don't know. That bench concerns me with Gajewski on there. How many minutes do we think he gets?
I think if he gets 55, that's decent, well, right? Is that a bit
far? Oh, he's just.
Guys, the other one I wanted to talk about there was Hosking. Now, we're all pretty clear on that. Not a buy now that he's on a bench.
I think so.
Missed the boat.
Yeah.
But you need to just he's also not a sell.
Correct. So yes. I've had a few people question about that. So basically, his break-even's 4. So, which means even if he plays off the bench, he's going to earn points, which means more than likely he's going to score more than four, which means he's going to earn cash. So, he's probably still got another 2 to 3 weeks that if he's playing off the bench, which we all thought this is what was going to happen and likely what's going to happen with Smoothie when Horsburgh's back, is that they're going to have low break evens but be playing off the bench so that you don't want them in your scoring side, but they're still going to earn you just that little bit of extra cash over those next couple of weeks.
Yep. Yeah, and particularly in a season where it's been so tricky to generate cash, now you're just etching out those last little drops from Hosking so you can turn him into someone better.
Yeah, that's right.
And in that same vein of people that went really well last week, where are we sitting on someone like Adam Elliott?
Oh, how often is he going to get 2 tries? That's the thing. I mean, even without those tries, he still scored well.
His base is pretty good, though, Lancey. Yeah. But let's kill the Jets on like you said, the 2 tries is a massive outlier.
He got the minutes that everyone's wanted from him too, because we know when he plays those big minutes, he does score well. He's got a good PPM and he works hard, but yeah, he won't get 2 tries every week, but he does have the base, that's true. He needs those minutes.
Yep, and one of the biggest things I've seen so far over the first 2 rounds is a really bad case of points chasing. I've seen a lot of people just, this guy scored well last week, so I'm going to get him into my team. One thing that's really big in fantasy, just chasing points is almost a waste. Very often those guys that have those big scores, they don't tend to back them up the next week. It's the ones that already have a high price, such as a Cleary and those sorts of guys, when they get a high score, they back it up the next week. So that's why they have a high price. There's a particular reason that blokes don't have a very high price, and that's because they don't produce regular, consistent, quality scores. So just be very careful chasing points. But I can't think of too much else to kind of wrap up there. Just quickly fly around the room and see who else has got stuff to add before we call it a night. Lenta, you got anything to kind of add? Anyone that I missed? Anyone you want to talk about?
I don't know. Maybe Samuela Finau for the Tigers off the bench. Just watch his minutes, see what he does this week. McInnes owners, I hope he gets the minutes 4 years. But, that's keep an eye on him. He's got that real good PPM. But, no, I don't think so. I think we've covered a fair bit.
Yep. Roscoe?
Go Chan. Go Joe Chan. You don't have to put on your red light.
What a song.
Oh, what was that, Ross? You're offering to do a rendition?
Joe Chan. No, it was awesome. Well done, Paulie, on his cleaning the pipes out today on the Facebook Live. It was absolute good. Bloody
snore. Cyfleet was happy, yep.
And hopefully Cyfleet joins in and makes it a duet next week.
Oh, I think he has to.
Yeah, we need the guitar there, though. Yeah, maybe even some bongos or something.
We need the views. We need the click contents.
Maybe a harmonica or a recorder or something.
Campfire Tuesdays. Get the kumbayas on. That's it.
Floggy, anyone that you want to talk about?
No, mate. That's it. Those 4 or 5 cheapies that are getting a run.
Yep.
Just getting the right combination and seeing how that works. Curran was maybe one we didn't really cover off that much in our chat just then, but I think everyone's kind of on board. If people aren't getting May, they're probably looking at Curran, who, even though he didn't get the starting spot, he's certainly getting some really strong minutes in the middle. But apart from him, I think we've covered it.
Lookie, you get the final say, mate.
I just think unless you're getting an out-and-out keeper, I think it might be wise to give Hutchinson just one more chance because they're playing the Titans this week. Just give him one more go. And apart from that, all I can say is go to a peaky.
Yep, fair enough. All right, I'm pretty much calling that done. Let's celebrate, end it on that. and have a great night. Look forward to chatting to you guys again next week. Bye for now.